I've been reprimanded from last week for not showing any pictures of this new grandbaby. And so here are a couple of the best ones, I think. And that's a big blessing. We are having our new member luncheon today, and we do that once or twice a year where we take the new members from the past few weeks or months and try to meet with them in a special way and get to know them a little better and them know the elders and deacons and staff. And so we'll do that today. And I want to say to new members, and some of our new members are you were members here before, so that's always great too. But I want to say to those who are new to a physical family what a new baby does. A new baby is precious to a physical family, right? And it breathes new life into that family. And that's what new members do to our spiritual family. It is, you do more for us than you know. And so you breathe new life into us for who you are and how God has gifted you and whatever you may do in being here and being part of us. So it's a big deal for us, and we want you to know that. And we look forward to getting to know you better and serving alongside of you in the coming years. This morning we're going to talk about our theme and kind of we're going to delve into a series on Changed by Jesus, and today we're talking about relationship. There were a couple times I've had a couple near-death experiences. One was as a youth minister when I was here. It's about year 2000, maybe 2001. Picture Matt Tucker as a seventh grader, to let you know how long ago that was. Here's Matt Tucker. I could take him back then. He's about yay high. And so we took a ski trip with the youth group, and I'm one of the days going to the slopes, everyone else went with parents, and so I drove the van with the skis. I didn't have any passengers, and so I'm driving on this two-lane mountain road, and it's a little icy, but I didn't think it was too bad. There comes a moment in this old church van, rear-wheel drive, when the back end of the van slides, and it's not supposed to do that. And that pucker factor's at an all-time high. Everything slows down. I'm thinking, you know, if we keep sliding here, this is going to get bad real quick, because it's a dangerous road. There's not really anything keeping me from going off the road. So my life flashed before my eyes there just briefly. And then another time, this was when I was probably 16 and on my way to school. And a couple friends, I would go and pick them up and give them a ride to school. So we were all three together. And at that time in my life, I liked loud music, and so did my passengers. And I liked to invest in a stereo that would play music that way. And so we had it cranked up pretty good that day. And going to the railroad tracks in Shakota, where there's no bars that come down, right? So the lights were probably blinking. I don't know. The sound of the train was probably he was honking the train. Didn't hear it. All I know is we went over the tracks, and I looked, and they looked. And I promise you, not much further than that door is this train as we go over the tracks. There's something about living our greatest human fear is dying, right? And the Bible tells us everyone is born and everyone will die. And there's two exceptions to that in Scripture. We read about a man named Elijah that did not die, and we read about a man named Enoch. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5, we're going to start here and take a look at Enoch. Two people did not die, and that was, you know, in the story of Enoch, it's pretty clear that God chose to bless Enoch by avoiding death. He didn't die. Now, I don't know exactly how that happened, but he did not experience death like we will. And Genesis chapter 5 gives some genealogy, and it talks about when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And so we have some lineage here. And verse 4, the days of Adam as he fathered Seth were 800 years. He had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived. So we have this genealogy that runs down, and Adam lived. And so verse 5, all the days that Adam lived. Verse 6, Seth lived after he fathered Enosh. And on and on, different ones lived, and we have the years that they lived and when they had the next one in the lineage. And then we get down to Enoch. And so everyone lived, and then verse 22, Enoch walked with God. It's distinguished. Everyone else lived, but Enoch, he didn't just live, he walked with God. After he fathered Methuselah 300 years and other sons and daughters, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and was not. He was not, for God took him. Most people that live on this earth, they will live. They just live. They do what they do. They, you know, everyone's seeking happiness and trying to avoid pain, and people live and they do what they do and they die. Not everyone walks with God. Enoch walked with God. And this sermon, you know, in a nutshell, is this question: am I living? Am I just living, or am I walking with God? Because just because we're all here this morning is not evidence that we're necessarily walking with God. Right? Let's be honest. So I'm here, yes, but am I walking with God, or am I living my life? And Hebrews 11 gives us more information on about Enoch. And 11 verse 5, and this is a chapter on faith. The whole chapter, the emphasis is faith, but verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." So in case there's any confusion why Enoch did not die, he walked with God. He pleased God. God rewarded him. And verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists." Now, so the last of this verse 6 is like a... this is kind of like a quiz. So let's take a pop quiz here. We have two questions. A two-part quiz. Two-question quiz. Okay, question number one is, do you believe that God exists? That's question number one. I would expect most of us pass that question. Check. Yes. Question number two is a little trickier. Do you believe that God rewards those who seek him? And we've talked in here about seeking God and what that means. Amen. Seeking is different than believing. I can believe in God. I mean, I believe in the space station. But I'm not seeking it, right? So I can believe in something, that doesn't mean I'm seeking it. And that's Enoch. He sought God. He drew near to God. He walked with God. He knew God. And God knew him. They had a relationship. And that's where this sermon is about. How am I doing with God? Me and God. Do I believe in him? Of course I do. But am I walking with him? John chapter 15, Jesus makes a statement about vine and the branches. Chapter 15, verse 5, he says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." When I was a teenager, from basically my 7th grade to 12th grade years, my best friend, his name is Darren Parks, and he and I were best friends. Spent a lot of time together, did a lot of things together. Our senior year, we were both above average, and his intelligence was higher than mine, but we arranged our classes our senior year that we had the same classes, 7 straight classes, all the same classes, including office aides, one class in which sometimes we aided the office. But our our, you know, during that time in my life, I would say he and I were very close. Today, he and I still care about each other. I know somewhat what's going on in his life, and he knows somewhat what's going on in my life, but to say that we are close, I can't say that. We don't talk often. We live in different towns. We don't get to see each other often. I care about him. Do you have friends like that? When you get together, we haven't seen each other in years, but it's like, I mean, we're right back together. That's how we are, but I can't say we're close. Does that make sense? And so with us and God, how are we? How close are you with God? Moses was close with God. Exodus 33, I'm going to kind of reference some scriptures quickly. And you always feel free to jot down scriptures. And as time allows later, you may look at these. But Moses was close with God. Exodus 33:11 says that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, God may not speak to me face to face, but do I talk to God like a friend? How do you pray? Sometimes people struggle with prayer, and I have people sometimes ask me, they say, I don't know how to pray. That's a fair question. And one answer to that is, how do you talk to a friend? Do that with God. And if you can get by yourself where no one will think you're crazy, I recommend talk to God out loud. It's a unique experience to pray out loud by yourself with God. Moses, he was close with God. David was close with God. In David's Psalms, we see different Psalms. A good example is Psalms chapter 7 and chapter 8. In chapter 7, David says, in you I take refuge. In chapter 8, he says, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Chapter 7 doesn't necessarily tell me that David walks with God. It just tells me when he's in trouble, he knows where to go. But chapter 8, how majestic is your name in all the earth? When someone prays that, they're close with God. They think about God. They think about how great God is. And that prayer life describes someone close with God. Daniel was close with God. Remember when the story of Daniel in the lion's den, that whole story, his enemies, the guys that were jealous of him, really got the whole created the whole scenario for him to be in the lion's den. They looked for something to accuse Daniel of. Daniel was so close with God, and he walked so closely with God in his life. They determined, you know, the only thing we're going to be able to find against Daniel is something to do with the law of his God. Basically, his walk with God. We're going to have to find something there, because He doesn't live an immoral life. That's Daniel. So today I want to leave you with, we're going to look at five or six different ways. How can we walk with God? How can we do that? The first one is, it might seem odd to start out with this, but self-denial. Years ago, we witnessed... Years ago, we would see young people grow up in a spoiled environment. And I don't mean regular spoiled. I mean in a wealthy family. I don't mean a well-to-do family. I mean wealth, right? Silver spoon. And when children grow up in just imagine someone who has achieved a lot in life, kind of the rags to riches, and this parent has all this wealth, and now they raise a child. Does that child do the same that the parent does, the same course of life? No. Their life has been different. They've been spoiled immensely growing up, and normally they turn out to be a pretty rotten adult to be around. Here's what's strange, and I've been thinking about this for a while, and I think I might have something. You ever do that? Have an idea, and you think, I think that might be something. So, in our day and time now, I want to make a statement that we have too much. We have too much entertainment. And some of what I'm going to say just sounds like an old man, and old men always sound this way, you know, back in my day, kind of that type deal. But think about this, what young people have today, and I'm not blaming young people, understand me. Okay? I think any of us in here, if we had what young people have today, we would struggle like I think they struggle. We have too much. Gaming went from, in my day, the invention of Atari and Pac-Man and Donkey Kong to the point where now gaming is a monstrous empire. And a young person can have a true addiction to gaming in which they lose hours of time in gaming. Even games on our phones, we're still susceptible. But what we have in the way of entertainment with cell phones, what we have in the way, I'll just say Netflix, and that references everything that's kind of like that, binge watching entertainment, the way we can absorb it. It's always with us. It's always accessible. There may not be limits. YouTube, social media, on and on and on. The mass amount of entertainment that young people have and they have time, I think it's too much. Self-denial. How can I walk with God when I have all my time and all this other? And so anyway, I'm throwing out the theory that I think young people today are struggling in a way that spoiled child of a very wealthy family did years ago. I think it's the same effect. We need limits. Young people need limits. But listen, grown folk, we need limits on us. Have you ever binge watched something? Have you ever watched too much? I say too much. You ever watched something? Oh, you watch one show after another. You had a Saturday. You just kicked back and you spent time watching or indulging yourself in some way with entertainment. Do you ever do that? And then when you're done, you get up and say, man, I feel great. I mean, life's good. I feel ready to take on the world. I feel satisfied. I feel content. I feel fulfilled. Why does it not work that way? I don't know, but it doesn't. And so Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. What are we sowing? Am I sowing to walk with God? Am I denying myself and saying, self, you need to spend some time with Jesus. You've had enough with Xbox. You've had enough with PS. What are we up to now? 3, 4, 5, 7? What's the number? I don't even know. They keep making more. Everything, it's too much. 4, thank you. PS4, self, that's enough PS4. How about some time with Jesus? How about some prayer time? Whatever we sow, that we will reap. So we need some self-denial. Repentance is next. Revelation, and I just say that, what does repentance have to do with relationship with God? One thing is this. If I have ongoing sin in my life, I will probably hold God at some distance because I know God's not pleased with me. If I have something I need to repent of and I continue to live that way, I can't walk with God because I know God doesn't approve of that. Revelation 3:14, this is the passage where it talks about being lukewarm. And John, and these are words from Jesus, but the angel of the church, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's powerful scripture. That one's a gut check, isn't it? I don't know if any of us aren't susceptible to being lukewarm. If I get a little more me, a little more me time, next thing you know, I've got too much me time, not enough God time, and I'm lukewarm. But look at verse 19. So here's a verse that people, we wouldn't normally think about. It says, to those whom I love. So we'll stop there for a second. We find comfort in God loving us, right? And so it would be a common thought for someone to say, you know, I know God loves me. And from that, what they might be meaning is, I know God loves me, so he understands all. He understands the ways I continue to sin on purpose. But God doesn't, does he? I know God loves me, so fill in the blank. And what Scripture tells us is those whom, Jesus said, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. And I just read this to say that what we may need is repentance. For you to have a closer walk with God, what you may need is a come to Jesus meeting and say, self, I need to get real with God. And I need to stop this foolishness and turn from it so I can walk more closely with God. But verse 20, have you ever heard verse 20? You'll see this on a poster or a plaque or something on the wall. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. It's a beautiful verse. It's about fellowship. But notice the fellowship comes on the heels of repentance. If there's something I need to turn from, then that's my responsibility. Church, there's some things we may need to stop doing. Cussing is one. Foul language, profanity. Is there any place for that with a Christian? And I understand we have a tolerance level that's different than God's tolerance level. Well, ours is up here. God's is down here. And in my mind, I could say, you know, these words, I kind of cuss the way I do. I do what I do. This word, that word, blah, blah, blah. I don't say it around, you know, the preacher, or the elder, or grandma, but I'm always saying it around God. Church, is there any place for profanity? Now, I'm not saying it's easy. You may have a habit of loose language. It's time to change the habit. It's time to, when we get serious about things, we can change through the power of Christ. And that's our theme this year, changed by Jesus. So I put that out there. That may hit you. And if it does, then get with Jesus on that. It may be gossiping. We've touched on that some. Probably need a whole series, whole nother series. Probably a whole year on gossip, church. A whole year of it. If I'm sleeping with someone I'm not married to, I need to turn from that. It may be pride. It may be watching certain shows and listening to certain music I need to turn from. But we have a great passage. I love this one. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I love that. But then verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. I want to point out there's no sin in your life that's too great for Christ to forgive and Christ's blood to reach. The Bible says confess your sins. It doesn't say confess some of your sins, and if some of you've sinned too much, don't even worry about that because there's no hope for you. The Bible doesn't say that. God has the power, and Jesus' blood is enough to forgive any sin. And our job is to confess and turn from them. Ephesians, a great passage. We won't take a lot of time in this, but Ephesians 4:17 and following talks about verse 17. This I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. It's how we used to be. Verse 19 talks about they become callous and given themselves to sensuality. Whatever pleases the senses. That was 2,000 years ago, but I think it's so true for us. You talk about a society that is fed entertainment and fill in the blank that pleases our senses. Man, we're spoiled. We have a lot, church, and we have to manage it so that we're not calloused in our sin. Verse 22 talks about to put off your old self. It's deceitful desires. You have to be careful. We have to be careful because you will lie to you. And I'll lie to me. And I will deceive me into continuing something I shouldn't continue. All right, point number 3. To walk closer with God. To be closer with Jesus. It comes through prayer. And we see that example with Jesus. He often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. Often. We have no excuse not to pray because you can pray anywhere. Pray when you're driving. Anybody wake up in the middle of the night and can't sleep? Raise your hands, old folks. Come on. I'm not the only one. Pray. Pray. We can pray in the day. We can pray in the night. And Daniel, I love this story about Daniel. Do you know when a document had been signed? This is Daniel 6:10. This is outlawing what Daniel's doing, and he'll wind up in a lion's den over it. But when that verdict came down, you know what Daniel did? He went home, faced Jerusalem, because they're in exile. Daniel's in exile. This is an odd prayer also, to give thanks before God as he had done previously. He's in exile. He's been captured. Their whole country's many from Jerusalem and their nation have been moved. And Daniel knows that he is going to may give his life for this, but he goes and does what he always does, and that's pray 3 times a day. Faithful. Prayer will bring us closer to God. Prayer. And when you pray, be honest. Talk to your friend. Scripture. We have so many ways to get into the Bible. When I was a young husband, and Stephanie and I were early on in our marriage, there were times that she would talk to me, and ladies, you probably know this, but guys, ladies use a lot more words on average than men do. A lot more. And that's science, folks. If you didn't already know that, women talk, and my wife, she'd like to talk. She liked to connect with me, and she would talk a lot. To me, I mean, it seemed like a lot. And early on, as a young groom, I was not a good listener. And I don't claim to be great now, but I'm a lot better. Better. And early on, she would be talking, and I'm telling you, I would even make statements to her about, hun, because I would miss something important. And I'd make statements. My defense was, hun, but you talk so much. You tell me so much. And what I learned, what it took me a while to learn, I wish someone had taught me. So young men, if you're not married, listen. And if you are. If I care about her, then what she's trying to tell me, I will care about that. If I care about her, then I care about what she has to say. Amen. The question is, do I care about God? If I care about God, I will care about this. And that's one of the ways we fall short. But there's so many ways we can get this in our lives, in our minds. We have apps on your phone that'll read it to you, for crying out loud. It will read the Word of God to you. Some of you are auditory learners. Some of you are just lazy. But either way, I let it read to me. I'm a visual learner, but I still let it read to me at times. There's so many ways. There are devotionals. There's so many things out there. I want to keep plugging. Lori Varnell has a Facebook page. It's called Women Living by Faith. She has outstanding. She writes a devotional every day. They're outstanding, ladies. Outstanding. We have so many ways to get God's Word in us. And I'll wrap it up with, I have to read this. This is from Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will give it to the end. I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Is this guy close to God? Does he have a close walk with God? He delights in God's law. How much do I care about God? And then lastly, daily effort. Great scripture, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And what that tells us is, if I'm not close with God, that's on me. Because God is saying, I'm ready anytime you're ready. You want to get closer? I'm ready. But God won't force himself on us. I was handed this morning. Somebody handed this to Jack at the fair. If you walk side by side with Jesus, you will always reach your destination. Pretty good. We're going to sing this song in a moment. And there is... the last thing I'll say is, on Judgment Day, there's only one thing that you will care about. Only one thing will be important on Judgment Day. And that is, does that man Jesus, does he know me? I don't mean in the way that God knows us. I mean, does he know me as a friend? Do we have a relationship? Am I walking with him? If you have a prayer that you would like us to lift you up in prayer this morning, we would do that, love to do that. If someone's not right with God, we'd love to help you if you'd come while we stand and sing.
Blue flags and rainbows and sounding from heaven are what I can see when my Lord is in me. Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone since he promised me that we never would part. Green grass and flowers, all blooming in springtime, are works of the Master. I live for each day. Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone since he promised me that we never. Jesus is